Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
In the mid-1980s, a particular song came out that I especially connected with. Now, maybe I connected with it because that was sort of the time in my life where I really began to claim my own love for music. Maybe they had a great music video on MTV, and maybe I just liked the video. I'm not sure. But the song is Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. See, many of you like the song too. In fact, I mentioned this last service, and many people were like, oh yes, I love that song. I don't know what it is about that song that people connect with. Perhaps it's the story of two people who are living in a difficult time. Perhaps we've connected with our own times of difficulty. Perhaps it's that great music video that's this sort of epic video with shots of concert footage, but also stage construction and all this great stuff that happens, this sort of behind-the-scenes look at this fantastic and showy rock band that's pretty good. I tell you what I like to think it is I like to think that people connect with that particular song because it names prayer as something that's essential to who we are. When you look at the lyrics to this song, when you hear about Johnny who had a job until the union went on strike and who now is struggling not only with his sense of self-worth, but they're surely struggling financially. And then you hear about his girlfriend or spouse, Gina, who works all day in a diner and yet has difficulty sleeping and sometimes cries in the night. You hear this sense of difficulty, and yet the point of the song is that they have something to hold on to. They have this idea of something that brings them hope, this idea of prayer, this idea that there's something beyond them. And I like to think that that's why the song has been popular for so long. It was released in 1986. It had a resurgence the following decade when Bon Jovi did an MTV Unplugged, and they had this cool acoustic version that they did. So it was experienced a resurgence then. And I read about a survey that was taken, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, where people still love this particular song. They identify it in, I don't know, their top 20 or so of songs over their lifetime. They love this particular song. And I like to think it's because of the connection to prayer. Now, I sort of guess that most of us here are people of faith, have some sense of something beyond us. But I tell you, whether you're Christian or Buddhist or Muslim or Jewish, even some of my non-faith friends have this sense of something beyond us, whether it's simply hope or love or whether we identify with a higher power. There's something beyond us that when we get down to that sort of last part of our sense of dignity, when we feel like we're nearing the last straw, there's still that thing that we can hang on to. Many of us name it as prayer. Now, we've been journeying through this epistle from James, this letter from James, and talking an awful lot about personal and social holiness. And I think prayer is something that ties all of what we've been talking about together. In fact, the verses that we'll read in a few minutes are the very closing verses to the letter from James. James, as an author, he doesn't close out his letter in the way that many of the Pauline letters do. Paul's letters, there's this sort of benediction. Oh, I wish you grace and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God go with you and strengthen you. You know, these beautiful things. It's sort of this benediction like we do at the end of most of our worship services. But James doesn't do that. James closes in prayer, and yet I sort of wonder if that's not a perfect way to close anyway. Now, over the course of the last few weeks, We've been talking, as I said, about personal and social holiness, and we began by talking about good works, right? And not good works as a substitute for faith, but good works as something that we find ourselves called into as a part of our faith, good works as a way that we might live out our faith. The following week, we talked about the power of our words, the power of language, the importance of choosing words that lift up rather than tear down. We connected it with not only the letter from James, but also with the scripture from, I think, from Matthew, where Jesus is criticized for eating with the wrong crowd. And he says, don't forget, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Our words have power, and we can choose how to use our words. And James framed it through the lens of verbal maturity, and I connected that a bit, and I still do, with Wesley's idea of Christian perfection. We can't do it all the time, but when we do, we're doing pretty good. And then last week, we talked about wisdom. And of course, earthly wisdom can very often get us into trouble, right? But when we focus on that wisdom that comes from above, when we focus on the wisdom that comes from our Creator, then that might be seen as a better focus for us. So these last few weeks, we've talked about works and words and wisdom, and now we wrap it up with prayer. And so I'd like to read from you from the fifth chapter of the book of James, beginning with verse 13, going through to verse 20. As I said, these are the very last words of this letter from James. If any of you are suffering, they should pray. If any of you are happy, they should sing. Do you see that connection, by the way, how we've talked about music as prayer? And here's the other thing I want you to get out of this. Whether you're having a tough time or the best day of your life, we should probably still pray. I was at a continuing education event with a group of other pastors. And the leader of this event, it wasn't about prayer. This educational event wasn't about prayer. It's about something else. But one of the things he just threw out at us sort of off the cuff was, by the way, as a leader in the church, as a pastor in a church, you better have the most robust prayer life of anybody in your congregation. And all of us said, oh boy. Because most of us were thinking about the bulletin that we had to do for next Sunday and whether or not we were going to have the right bread for communion because, you know, coming up in October is World Communion Sunday. And if we're one of those churches that's hosting a marriage equality celebration, then we got to get ready for that. And there's the wedding that's coming in November, and there's the getting ready for Advent, and then Christmas, and then the sermon series in January. We better have the best, most robust prayer life. And yet sometimes we as clergy, as people who work in the church, find ourselves challenged to make time for prayer, and I wonder how many of us in this room also share that same challenge. And yet we must. I believe prayer is essential for a strong prayer life, and I tell you, I'm trying to do a better job of it. I'm going to continue with James's passage, beginning with verse 14. If any of you are sick, they should call for the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, for the Lord will restore them to health, and if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, I want to be careful with this part. And I want to use it's not a very good Methodist analogy, but I think it's a good analogy, right? Here's the analogy. You can't pray to win the lottery without buying a ticket. Right? You see why it's not a good Methodist? Oh, because Methodists, we have some things to say about gambling. But anyway, right? But here's the thing. I think that prayer is a great way for us to focus on God. And I think that prayer works. I was talking with someone at last service earlier today. And she was out last week because she was in the hospital, and yet she said she felt the sense of prayer as we lifted her in prayer over the course of this week. That prayer was a helpful thing for her recovery, and yet she still had the good sense to go to the hospital, to go to see a doctor. We have to join in that, right? I just want to be clear about what I mean by that and how I read this text. Good. For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what you can achieve. Unless you've been under a rock, you know that Pope Francis has been in this country. I just found out, so I must have been under a rock. I'm kidding. I actually knew. And in a number of conversations, whether it was somebody that he took moments out of the sort of papal motorcade to go and talk to somebody on the side of the road, or even when he had a one-on-one moment with House Speaker Boehner, so many people talk about how what the Pope, one of the things that the Pope had to say to them, pray for me. And at least one response was, who am I to pray for the Pope? Do you know who you are? You're the righteous person who has power that can be achieved through prayer. Elijah was a person just like us. When he earnestly prayed that it wouldn't rain, no rain fell for 3.5 years. He prayed again, God sent rain, and the earth produced its fruits. My brothers and sisters, if any of you wander from the truth and someone turns back the wanderer, recognize that whoever brings a sinner back from the wrong path will save them from death and will bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Now, I want to talk about how this scripture can connect with everything that we've talked about over the course of the last few weeks. Right. We talked about good works. And many of us, for a number of reasons, may feel like, oh, I don't have time to do this ministry or participate in this thing. Or, well, you know, I'm just, any of the things that we might say where we can't do that. And I think that's a good opportunity for prayer. Dear God, help me focus on you and not on me. Help me focus on your people and your community and not on the busyness that I set up around myself. But if you're somebody who does participate faithfully, religiously, to use a phrase, in some of these things, it's still a time for prayer. God, thank you for the chance to do something for your people. Thank you for giving me the abilities to do something for your people. Thank you for giving me the heart to do something for your people. When it comes to our use of words and language, we must include prayer. If we treat somebody horribly with our words, that's an opportunity for prayer. God, give me wisdom so that I can not treat people this way going forward. And when we've reached that point of verbal maturity, even if it's only for a moment, when we've reached that point of Christian perfection through in our words, even if it's only for a moment, let's be in prayer. Thank you, God, for bringing me and calling me to this place, for giving me the strength to come here, God. I know it comes from you. Let me continue in this way for as long as I can. And then when I stumble and fall, because I know that I will, help me get back up and come back to this place. When it comes from being focused on the wisdom of the world, we know that that's a great opportunity for prayer. God, help me not focus on me, but what you would call me to do. And then, when we find ourselves responding to God's call and living out God's wisdom, let us offer a prayer of thanksgiving to the wisdom that is given to us and the strength to follow that wisdom. As we conclude this exploration of personal and social holiness, let us not forget that the act of prayer, in whatever way we choose to live it out, is essential to every aspect of our faith. Now, I think it's important to note that prayer is a personal thing. We all pray in different ways. I've known people who had long commutes, and their best time and way to pray was in the car while they're driving. I encourage you, by the way, if you pray that way, to keep your eyes open. For some people, the best way to pray is on your knees with your eyes closed, maybe at night before bedtime. For some, the best way to pray is with your family or with your children or with a close loved one. I'd like you to just take a moment and think about what is your best way to pray. See yourself in that moment in your best, most powerful way to pray. And maybe it's been recently. And maybe it's not been recently. I invite you to commit yourself in your life of faith to regularly participate in that life of prayer. I want you to know that for me, one of the most powerful ways for me to live out prayer is through music. And sometimes that's listening to music, but I got to tell you that for me, it's a little more about giving music. And so I brought my guitar, and I'd like to share a song with you, a song that is about prayer. I'm pretty sure that some of you have heard this song before, a song that calls us to hang on to that light and line of hope in our lives. Friends, in this portion of the worship service, we did some music in worship that would not be legally appropriate for us to put on the website. I'd encourage you to just go to YouTube and Google Prayer 94. It's Bon Jovi's unplugged MTV appearance where they did Living on a Prayer. Check it out. This is the closing prayer through which we close this worship service. Friends, we turn now to a time of prayer to center ourselves on God. Holy and living God, we choose to take this time to focus ourselves on you. Whether we find ourselves close to your image or broken and far away from your image, we see now as an ideal time to pray. As we seek to come into more personal and social holiness through works, words, and wisdom, we do so enabled by prayer. We bring all these things to you, O God, these prayers of your people, and any that have been left unsaid as we say together the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.